Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday. It's good to see you. And we are blessed today to celebrate the birthday of the church, or Pentecost. And it's an amazing day as we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as I pointed out to the kids, you see all around you all the color red, these different symbols. We have the doves showing up, and then these flames of fire, especially on this wall over here. Just a tremendous, tremendous day of Pentecost. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of us don't use the word Pentecost every day. If you do, please let me know and tell me about it. Pentecost is kind of an interesting word, but basically Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecostos, which basically means 50. So on your 50th birthday, no, that doesn't work. Never mind. So Pentecost, 50. What's going on here? Well, 50 days, it's 50 days after the Passover. 50 days over after the Passover was then the Feast of Pentecost. And in later Jewish times, it became a time for people to remember the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. But now it's taken on a new meaning as we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So on this day of Pentecost, there's a lot of people gathered in the city from all over. It's an exciting time. And it's also a very exciting time for the church, for the disciples who are there. Because Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, remember last week we talked about his ascension, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now on the day of Pentecost, there's something fabulous and amazing, kind of bizarre that happens, which I talked about in the children's message. The disciples were there, gathered in one room, and all of a sudden they hear the sound like a rushing wind, and then tongues of fire descending upon their heads. And then something miraculous happens. They begin speaking in other languages. Just mind-blowing. So that when they go out into the area with all these different people groups, they could understand the good news of the message of Jesus in their own language. Just absolutely fabulous. There's some really exciting stuff going on at Pentecost. But one of the exciting things that's happening is a transformation that takes place. An amazing transformation. Remember the disciples who, after Jesus was crucified, had timidly kind of cowered in the background? Even that day of Easter, they were there cowering in the upper room, afraid for fear of the Jews, as it says. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." The risen Lord comes. He then promises the Holy Spirit. Then on the day of Pentecost, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, these timid disciples become tenaciously bold with the message of the gospel. Remember our friend Peter? Peter, who denied his Lord three times. Peter, who denied his Lord three times, then stands up in front of a large crowd and he boldly confesses the crucified and risen Savior, as we hear in Acts chapter 2:22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." That's a bold message. And this bold message is one that continues to be proclaimed throughout the world today, and it continues to be proclaimed in our midst. And on this day of Pentecost, we also have something very special, as two young people are going to boldly confess their faith in their Lord Jesus, the crucified one who died for them to take all their sins away, and who rose that they would have new life and new hope. Amy and Shiloh, you're going to be making a bold confession today. You're going to be asked a number of questions, including this one. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And then you will answer, "I do by the grace of God." And those words, "I do by the grace of God," are so important because we know that it is by God's grace that we can make such a bold confession. It's one thing to confess that you believe in Jesus in the midst of your church family and those who love you and who respect you and care about you. It's a whole other thing to say the words, "I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior," when somebody has a gun to your head, or when you are threatened with torture or death, like our brothers and sisters in various parts of the world who are being persecuted. This is a serious and bold confession that is made by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and lives. For as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And now, Amy and Shiloh, you are going to be confessing the faith that you have been given by the Holy Spirit. You, as baptized children of God, made a part of God's family in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now, as adults, so to speak, are going to confess that faith. And so on this day, when a bold confession of faith is being made, I want to share some words of encouragement and exhortation with you based on those verses which were prayerfully picked out for you, what we call your confirmation verses. You see these wonderful banners that were made for you, and you see the symbol, the dove, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then you see those words of Scripture. It's a reminder that the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. And these are the Scriptures that were prayerfully picked out for you. So I want to talk to you both today, and you all will be listening in, of course. But Amy, first of all, I want to talk to you about your Scripture that was picked out from Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This psalm was actually sung by people that were on a journey. They would be making pilgrimages, sometimes going to Jerusalem, and they're on a journey. And we, as we go through life, are on a journey. And as we go through this journey of life, we're going to experience the ups and downs along the way. And I know, Amy, you already have experienced the ups and downs of life. And along the way, there are times when we experience scary things, when we hear about scary things on the news, and we wonder what's going to happen at our school, or in our world, or in our own lives. Where am I headed? Where is God guiding me? Where am I going to go after high school? There are all kinds of questions and wonderings that we have in our lives, and there are times when we are desperate for help. The question is, Amy, where does your help come from? Where does our help come from? Now, you, Amy, are blessed with a wonderful family who loves you so much. That's such a gift. Praise the Lord. You have friends and family, and we thank the Lord for the help that we can receive from our family and our friends. But there are times in our lives when we go through the journey when they might not be readily available. There are times when we might wish that we could talk to a particular friend, but that friend is not there. And sometimes when we move and God calls us to different places in our lives, our family might not be there with us. So, Amy, where does your help come from? Well, as the psalm says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is powerful stuff. You know, we can say these verses, But let's pause and think about it for a moment. My help comes from the Lord. The word Lord there is capitalized, meaning it comes from the Hebrew word Yahweh, the word that signifies the holy name of God. I am who I am. That's the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Moses, who was scared. But Moses received his help from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now that we're having clearer skies, I imagine you've been able to look up into the skies and gaze at the beautiful stars which God has made. This is the God who will help you, Amy, the one who created everything that you see, who created the amazing animals that we see roaming on this earth, the one who created every star, who knows every name of every star. There are billions of stars, giant stars. The massive power of creation is incredible, Amy, but we have the one who created all of this, and he is your helper. Not only is he your helper, Amy, but he's the one who knows everything about you. With all these people on this planet, over 6.8 billion people, Amy, he knows you personally. He's the one who knit you, who formed you in your mother's womb, who knows everything about you. Everything. And this is the one who is there for you. The amazing thing about your Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is he's all powerful. He's the one who knows you and loves you. He's the one who sent Jesus for you. You needed a Savior. We all needed a Savior. And he sent Jesus for you, Amy. And Jesus rose for you, Amy. The wonderful thing about this Lord is he is there day or night whenever we need him. There's no special hotline for God that puts you on hold. Yes, hello. Thank you for calling God's headquarters. Office hours are from 4 to 8. Please call tomorrow and we'll be glad to take your message. No. There are no office hours with God, no putting you on hold. For day or night, whether it's 2 in the morning or 5 in the morning, whatever time of day, the Lord is there to hear your prayer. We've studied many things in catechism class, including the Lord's Prayer. And in those first words, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that's the kind of relationship that God has with you because of Jesus Christ. And you can call upon your heavenly daddy who will always be there for you. And very powerful and very loving, and we know that through Christ. There may come a time in your life when you are desperately in need of help and you don't know the right words to say. But you know what? What I really appreciate is that when it comes to talking to our Heavenly Father, the mighty creator of heaven and earth, we don't have to have a special formula for prayer. It's not as if God will only hear you if you say the right words. Remember after class, we would pray together. And the Lord heard those prayers as we brought those different petitions before the Lord. And another thing, you may be weak and wondering what to say, but guess what? You have the Holy Spirit who will intercede on your behalf, Amy. As it says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Remember this, Amy. That the Lord will be with you on the journey of life, that he's always there for you and always able to hear your prayer and to answer your prayer. So again, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Shiloh, I also have words for you today from your confirmation verse, which again was prayed over, and your words, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, are these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's the perfect verse, I think, for each one of you. Those are the right verses. Shiloh, I know that you like to try to figure things out. You're very good at figuring things out. And you know what happens sometimes, Shiloh? When we as people try to figure things out, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble. Sometimes we think that we know how things are supposed to work in this world, and we lean upon our own understanding, and that can lead us astray. I love how those words are used. It says, lean not on your own understanding. And I just picture in my mind leaning on a rotted fence, leaning on a support that is about to fall over. And sometimes when we lean on our own understanding, it falls right over. And we end up getting hurt. And that's what happens. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were tempted to follow their own understanding. Knowledge is powerful. And Satan tempted Adam and Eve with knowledge. You can be like gods. You can have all this knowledge, knowing good and evil. And they were tempted to rely on their own understanding. And as we know, the world has never been the same since. Our own understanding can get us in trouble. So the question is, who do we trust? Who do we trust? There's all kinds of people and groups that will vie for our attention, wanting us to trust. Science is wonderful, but science has been wrong. and science will be wrong again. So do we trust in science? Ultimately, no. How about our feelings? Boy, I've had some pretty good feelings some days, and then I've had some not so good feelings other days, and maybe you have as well. Do we trust our feelings? No. No, we do not lean on our own understanding, but rather we trust in the Lord and His Word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Lord has given you, Shiloh, His amazing Word, which is never wrong. The rock solid word which points to the message of Jesus Christ, your crucified and risen Savior. That is what we rely upon. And there will be some things that we read about in the Scriptures that we don't understand fully. Oh, let's think of a couple. Creation. How could God, by the word of His mouth, create the world? How could God be in the womb of a virgin with the incarnation, with God coming to us, true God and true man? How does that work? Good luck figuring that one out. How about baptism? How is it that God could work through the water and the word to bring life? How is it that the Lord could be truly present there in the Lord's Supper with His body and His blood for you? How is that possible? We can make all kinds of theories, but in the end, we don't understand. But we don't need to, because we can trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And this trust is not just an intellectual exercise. As much as intellectualism is so much fun, it's not an intellectual exercise. I'll give you an example of this that may sound slightly familiar. So picture in your minds a canyon that's 100 feet, 200 feet deep, a deep canyon. You fall off, you're dead. This canyon is about 50 feet across, and across this canyon is a rope. There's a rope across the canyon. At the edge of the canyon is this famous tightrope walker. And this tightrope walker is there with a wheelbarrow, and he offers rides to anyone who will accept a ride across the rope to the other side of the canyon. I already see people shaking their heads saying, no, that's scary. The tightrope walker, an expert tightrope walker with his wheelbarrow, offers rides to people, and there's one individual who comes forward, and he's a scientist, a brilliant scientist. And he analyzes the wheelbarrow. He takes measurements of the wheelbarrow and tests it and sees that it's strong. He looks at the tightrope walker and he assesses his ability and says, "You know, I believe that this tightrope walker can safely bring me across the canyon. That's my scientific intellectual assessment." The tightrope walker reaches out his hand and says, "Okay, come and sit in the wheelbarrow. Let's go across." And then all of a sudden, the scientist says, "Well, you know, I just remembered. I have to go study for a class I'm going to go give. See you around, guys." Intellectually, the scientist could assess in his mind that the tightrope walker would be able to bring him safely across the canyon. But did he believe in him? Then a young man came forward, a teenager. Teenager came forward, and the tightrope walker reached out his hand to the teenager, and the teenager accepted the offer to be in the wheelbarrow, and the tightrope walker with the wheelbarrow and the young man made their way across the canyon step by step, step by step, step by step, until they got safely to the other side. The young man got out of the wheelbarrow and looked at the tightrope walker and said, "Thanks, Dad, for the trip across the wire." You notice something there. The young man believed and trusted in the tightrope walker, trusted that his father would keep him safe as he went across the canyon. That is the type of trust that we're talking about. Not an intellectual assent, but rather a trust that places our lives into the hands of our Heavenly Father, who loves us so very much, who loves you, Shiloh, more than words can express. This is the faith that you have been given, not by your own works or reason, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. For this is a gift of God. Faith to believe and to trust is all by the work of the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and he will direct your paths. You also are on that journey, and along the way, your paths will be guided as the Lord guides you with his rock-solid foundational word and his promises. So Amy and Shiloh, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You, as baptized children of God, will now boldly confess by the power of the Spirit your faith. And I pray that you would be strengthened as you go through life, reminded of his precious promises, made bold to confess your faith wherever and whenever the Lord would call you to do so. This by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.